Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. It's being called an epic debut novel with a strong historical spine, entertaining, rewarding, a compelling read. Brothers, from author M.E. Taylor. Roman Britain in the year 102, a brutal historical time period, is brought to life. A tribal boy is snatched from his home to serve as a slave playmate for a privileged Roman child. The author of Brothers is M.E. Taylor, and she joins us from the United Kingdom on today's This Week in America. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be with you today.
Such great reviews for the book and so much to talk about and all the research that went into this. I'll go back to what I read in one of the reviews, and it says, a period of history so far removed, it almost seems like a fantasy. First of all, I have to ask your interest. How did this come about for you to write the book on this particular period? What fascinated you about this time period?
I don't know about this time period, but it's true. It is a time period I seem to have got quite set in. But the Romans have been all around me all my life, the ancient remains, shall we say, of where the Romans lived. So I've grown up with being aware of their housing, their fortifications, their systems, their roads. And then I started reading some of the ancient writers like Cicero and Pliny particularly, and their letters, and I just got totally hooked by them. And I just wanted to try to understand what these people might have been like, the ones who were living in Roman Britain, which is how the book came to evolve, really.
Well, yeah, and we feel like we sort of understand that, like we have a grasp of this period as we're reading the book. Talk a little bit about the times, what life was like then, and then we'll get into the storyline, but what was life like at that particular point in time?
Well, of course, the Roman invasion was in 43 AD, so we're talking nearly 60 years after that. So there was a lot of, in the south of Britain, a lot of settlement and establishment of towns was starting. So there was quite a civilization of Britain in the south. There was still trouble in the Welsh area. It wasn't called Wales then, of course. It was Western Britain, which is where the mountain area comes into it. And in the north of Britain, near the border, which later on became Hadrian's Wall. But at this time, that hadn't taken place. Hadrian hadn't become the emperor. They were still having these problems, which eventually resulted in Hadrian having to sort of say, all right, I'll build a wall.
Yes. Talk a little bit about the difference in lifestyles. You've got the native Britons and the Roman settlers. There was a difference. Talk about exactly what that was.
Well, there was a lot of trade that went on before the Roman invasion across the channel between Britain and the continent, which was Gaul at that time. But the Britons were living in thatched houses, not stone or brick built. They were built of mud and wattle, and they had thatched roofs, and they were mostly circular. You find a lot of the outline of the post holes where the circular houses were standing at the time of the Romans. The Romans came in and saw that was the lifestyle they couldn't really accept, so they started introducing square-shaped houses, a lot of wattle and daub still, but gradually stone and brick building. And they were building temples, which were built in stone, obviously, to promote the Roman way of life. And they encouraged people to set up and move into towns and do commerce in the towns.
The book we're talking about is Brothers of Britons and Romans. The author is M.E. Taylor, our guest on the program. Her website is metaylorbrothers.com. The book is also available at Book Venture, and you can log on directly to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and go and get information from her website, metaylorbrothers.com. I mentioned in the beginning that a little bit of the storyline. Let's talk about this. You've got a wealthy Roman living in Britain with his wife and children. Talk about him and how the story evolves.
Well, he was sent to Britain because he had been a senator in Rome, but he had upset the then emperor, Domitian. And he was very lucky, really, to be sent into virtual exile because Domitian was pretty he could be pretty cruel to people who upset him. And so he came to Britain. His wife and family came with him. And he chose to live in the south of Britain, where it was a safer and more civilized area. And his son, who was at that time the only son he had lost another one who died earlier, had set his eyes on this little boy, this boy a little older than him. He was 10 years old. And he wanted a playmate, basically, but the father wasn't going to have any of that, and he ended up purchasing him from the family, basically by having him abducted, although it was done by his slaves rather than the man himself, but he took responsibility for it. The boy was then branded by the slaves, and he ran away overnight, and he wasn't seen again for 9 years. During that time, nobody knew what had happened to him. But 9 years later, and this is where all the brothering comes in, he is fighting amongst some of his own brothers who had left home previously and gone to live amongst the native tribes, rebelling against the Rome. And he is captured by the uncle of this little Roman boy. That's another brother relationship. The little boy's brother was... little boy's father was Lucius, and his brother was Marcus. Marcus captured him and took him back, and he was very rebellious. And that's basically when the story takes up again.
Yes, and during this, he falls in love with his master's sister. Talk about that relationship, and this really, the relationship evolves and really had to be kept secret, didn't it?
Well, of course, it would have to be kept secret. And at first, she did not like him at all, because he, in his fighting, had killed the man she was going to marry. And when she discovered that, she only wanted him put to death. But when he became a member of the household, he began to fall in love with her. She didn't fall in love with him for some time. But eventually, the circumstances arose where she began to take notice of him and sort of see that he was more than just a slave. He was actually a man that she could talk to. And he had the opportunity to kiss her, and I'm afraid that did it for her. Although she was about to marry another person, that person didn't live up to the expectations she had been led to believe would happen, and so she reverted to the slave, Verlucus.
The book is Brothers of Britons and Romans. M.E. Taylor, the author. Her website is metaylorbrothers.com. The book's available at bookventure.com at the bookstore. Click on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I mentioned the critical praise for the book. It's really been widely accepted, highly praised. One area they talk about are the rich characters, and it's fascinating to understand how you went about developing the characters and the research, because, again, they consider the book to be well-researched. It's very believable, especially to people who are somewhat familiar with that era. Talk about developing the characters and fully developing the characters.
Well, it's very nice to know that people see them properly, as I intended them to be seen. But I saw this young man, I saw his father, and I just described the people who I was seeing, really. They were a family, they were a small family. There was mother, and there was father, there was the boy, the doted upon child, and his two sisters. He had another sister who was a bit of a prig, and the sister who fell in love with him was a bit of a naughty girl when she was young. That they were just people, as we might know people, and that's how I saw them all.
And because of that, we can connect with them emotionally. We see them dealing with fear, with anguish, anger, deep love, emotions that are all relatable. And sometimes we think of historical figures possibly as not having that. These were real people, weren't they?
Well, yes, I'd like to think so. I mean, I wanted to put flesh on the skeletons.
Yes.
I mean, in the local museums, you see skeletons of people who've been discovered in archaeology. And I thought, well, who are these people? They had lives like the rest of us. They were modern people of their time. And so I started to sort of think about the lives they might have lived. And that's how it all came about that this book got written.
One review talks about the level of historical background that you bring to the book, the knowledge, the research woven into to what they call a strong plot. Let's talk about that. How much research did you have to do? Because those that are familiar are like, you nailed it. It's like being back in that particular era.
That is so nice to hear. I have read a lot of books. I like reading biographies. I like reading what you might call textbooks about Roman Britain. But also I'm a member of two archaeological societies. One is the Association for Roman Archaeology. And with them, I've been on many visits to Roman sites. And the other is the Devon Archaeological Society. And again, with them, I've been on visits to many Roman sites, both in Britain and on the continent. In fact, I've just come back from a visit to Northern Italy. Earlier this year, I was with another group and we were in Portugal, looking again at the Roman sites. In fact, all of my tours are to Roman sites. This year, I took a group of friends to Bath to look at the Roman baths, which you've probably heard of.
Oh, yes.
And we had a great time there. And then back in August, I took another group of friends to a hotel up in Shropshire, if that means anything to you. And we enjoyed a Roman banquet, which this hotel put on. So, you know, I tend to try to live the lifestyle as much as possible.
Well, and you have, and that's interesting because all of those visits, I'm sure you're there, if not taking a journal as you're going, mentally recording all of this that you can bring to life in the books. This book is Brothers of Britons and Romans. M.E. Taylor is the author. The book's available at bookventure.com. You'll find it at Amazon as well, the usual places. And her website is metaylorbrothers.com. It's interesting, once you get the background, you've got the setting, so we understand that. You've got the characters that are relatable. Now take us to the dialogue. The dialogue is very realistically written. The others sort of would get lost if the dialogue wasn't there. Talk about developing the dialogue, because it is very realistic.
Well, that's good again to know. I didn't want it to be too modern, because I didn't think that would ring true. But at the same time, I didn't want it to be too antiquated. I tried to avoid using words which the Romans wouldn't have used, although, of course, I'm using English, which wasn't their language anyway. They used Latin. But I tried to avoid using words which didn't ring true in the context I was writing them in, if you see what I mean.
Yes, yes. How did you develop the plot? Was this something that you had the outline before you started, or did the story maybe take a few turns along the way as you were telling the story?
Certainly took a few turns along the way, yes. I had a few problems trying to sort out how on earth can this be resolved. I'd set up a situation and then try to resolve it, like when Verlucus is so resistant to Gaius's wishing for him to become tame and agree to be his slave, basically, although slaves usually didn't have to agree, but in this relationship, Gaius wanted him to yield to his authority, and Verlucus wasn't having none of that. So I thought, how on earth am I going to get from here to get him there? So that's why I took him off to see this man in the woods, this wise old Briton, so he could tell his story of what had happened to him whilst he'd run away. And in that way, I could overcome the resistance. And it was like him seeing a counsellor, if you like.
Exactly, yes, yes.
And then he could then relieve himself of all his anger and anguish and then understand what his future life was going to be, I hope.
Yes. And what has this experience been like for you? How exciting is this to see this idea come to life and hold a copy of that book for the first time that says Brothers of Britons and Romans and your name on it? What's this whole project been like for you?
It was something I never anticipated would actually happen. I mean, I wrote the book and to get it out of my head, because I had it all in my head. And so I wrote it and it was on my computer for a long time until I decided to have a go at publication. And I'm so pleased with the way it's been received.
Yes, like I said, it's been critically received. The readers are just, it's one of those where, okay, I'm going to start reading a little bit tonight, and suddenly you find your 23 chapters into the book because I can't put it down. I need to see what's going to happen next with the so many layers that you bring out during the course of the book. I mentioned an epic debut novel. Are you working on other books?
Well, because of the way I left it at the end, I don't know if you watched the end.
Yes. Yes.
What happens next? We've got to know what happened next. So I've started writing a sequel, but it's going to be a slow process. Don't expect it out tomorrow.
We will look forward to it. That was the answer that I was looking for. And did you have that in mind as you were writing Brothers, that this might be the first of several?
No, it wasn't really. It was, I thought, finished. But because I had left it as I had, that he parted from her. So, you know, are they ever going to be able to get together properly? People aren't satisfied, so they want more.
Well, that's a compliment, that they want to see the story continue, and they like the characters and want to see the continual evolution. Who are some of the influences on your writing, some of the people that you've enjoyed reading over the years?
Oh, I've enjoyed the books by Robert Harris, who's written about Cicero, one of my great people, and he's written about Pompeii, the eruption in Pompeii. I like Mary Beard's book, SPQR, I thought was brilliant. I've read books by, I think he's an American writer, Stephen Saylor, who wrote about Republican time, about Cicero. I've read Simon Scarrow, who writes about Roman Britain, but it's more on the military side. The warfare part, and I wanted it to be more domestic than warfare. So, but those are the ones of my genre, really. But other books, I don't know. I'm in the book club, and I'm always being asked to read this and read that. So I'm reading this amount of books.
Well, yeah, it's hard to keep track of that, but it has to be great as a writer to get all these different ideas and see what other writers are doing and their technique and seeing if there's something that you can apply to your writing. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. The book is Brothers of Britons and Romans. The author is M.E. Taylor. Her website is metaylorbrothers.com. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available at bookventure.com in their bookstore. It's available at Amazon, the usual places as well. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Delighted to hear there's going to be a sequel, and we definitely will get together and talk about that at the right time. No pressure. It's not going to be tomorrow. I understand that. We're going to have to wait a little while before we do that, but looking forward to the sequel. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure for me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure for us as well. The book is Brothers of Britons and Romans by M.E. Taylor. Information, of course, at our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and her website, metaylorbrothers.com. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.